Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another, not just episode of the show, but a big news episode of the show. Big News Wednesdays are back with me, John Arola, and J.R. Jackson. How's it going, J.R.?
What's going on? It's a cloudy day here, so we start off a little bit slow and under the energy levels, but I think we're getting there, bro.
I think both of us are looking for omens. Like, you're looking at the clouds. I went on my pre-show walk, and the neighborhood was filled with traffic. And like, you know, our neighborhood,
Yeah. There's
no reason for there to be traffic here in the morning. I just thought, what fresh hell is this? What the hell is going on that would cause traffic? And I don't know, but I'm scared.
Work and school. Anyway, it's all back. We're all back. Traffic is back to where it was before pre-pandemic.
We're all back, except it's just me and Jesus in the building right now. But anyway, we do have an omen, and the omen is a number, not 666. We passed that a while ago. Did you know that the damage report has passed 700,000 subscribers? Oh my God, look at the retro there. I like it. 700,000 subscribers on YouTube. We actually passed 701,000, but the graphic, we'll need to update that to 701. But thank you to everybody, to the thousands and thousands of new members of the Dragon Squad. Hopefully we'll get that up on Instagram as well, because that image is awesome. It needs to be enshrined forever. Oh, we have a new celebrant.
We have celebrations. He came out of the room and he goes, he hit 700,000. He thought you meant treats, but you know.
He can totally 700,000 treats. But anyway, thank you everybody for sticking with us. You know, the news is dark sometimes, but I think we try to laugh every day, at least once a day. We try to learn something. We try to express a bit of empathy. We have our everything is now Sprocket in the chat with the emoji. But anyway, thank you everybody for being subscribers. You know, whether you watch on YouTube or not, we appreciate you being part of all this. And you know what? We were going to wind down this whole thing, end the first season, and probably not renew TDR for a second season. But we hit 700,000, so maybe we should keep doing it.
Maybe.
We'll consider it. But anyway, you know what? We'll give it one last go. We'll do one last show today. So 90 minutes of news is coming at you. What are we going to be talking about? Well, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas doesn't know anything about anything. So AOC is going to try to teach him that. We'll be starting off with that in just a little bit. We've got the writing of the infrastructure bill. We've more importantly got the sabotage of the infrastructure bill. So that should be fun. What does the right think about the recall election in California? And then we've got Karens, we've got Kens, we've got guys who are just whining on social media because women were talking about sports or something. I don't know. We got a lot. We also have meanwhile in, so you're going to want to stick around to the end for that. But that said, Jerry, you ready to do this thing? I think you might have muted yourself. Or you were ignoring me. One of the two. Okay, good. I'm going to assume it was ignoring. Anyway, also hit the like button. Share the stream if you haven't already. Okay, so with that, let's jump into this. There are a great deal of concerns about Texas's new anti-abortion law, including that there are no exemptions for rape or incest. Governor Abbott was asked about that, why there were not exemptions for that, and this is what he had to say.
Governor, regarding the heartbeat bill, why force a rape or incest victim to carry a pregnancy to term?
It doesn't require that at all, because obviously it provides at least 6 weeks for a person to be able to get an abortion. And so for one, it doesn't provide that. That said, however, let's make something very clear. Rape is a crime, and Texas will work tirelessly to make sure that we eliminate all rapists from the streets of Texas by aggressively going out and arresting them and prosecuting them and getting them off the streets.
Okay. So there were two parts to that. I understand the question might have been hard to hear. It was, why is there only the 6 week thing with no exemption or whatever? So let's talk about both parts. The first is you got 6 weeks, so don't even worry about it. Now, JR, we know, and I'm sure he knows, that that's not actually how it works. Planned Parenthood has said 85% to 90% of Texans who obtain abortions are at least 6 weeks into pregnancy. So for nearly every one of them, they're not going to fit into those 6 weeks. That sort of statistic is not a coincidence. They didn't come up with 6 weeks for nothing, randomly. They didn't throw darts or something. And so that window, the 6 week window, only provides a woman with a best case scenario, someone obsessively tracking a regular menstrual cycle of 28 days that leaves about 2 weeks after her first missed period to have an abortion. In other words, at 6 weeks and often well beyond that point, most women have no idea they're pregnant. So if everything is perfect and you're perfectly tracking and you don't miss a day and you're not distracted by anything and all of that, and you can get an instantaneous appointment, then maybe, maybe, and maybe not, especially if you have no reason, you know, like it is one of those fact checks or something like that that feels most frustrating because, of course, we're pointing it out to people that don't care. They know and don't care. Greg Abbott does not care. But anyway, you have anything else to say about the timeline you laid out there?
As far as the timeline, because there's definitely something about the rapists on the streets that I know you're going to get to. But so the timeline, you listen to every word politicians say and why they may say it, or maybe it was just a simple mistake. He didn't say you've got 6 weeks maximum. He goes, you've got at least 6 weeks. Why did he say at least? That means that's on the low end. That means minimum. You have at least 6 weeks. At most, what do you have, Greg? That should be the very next question. That should be the next question from anyone that's sitting in that room. I haven't, full disclosure, I haven't read every word of the legislation that they are passing on this or his orders or what he wants to do with women's rights in the state. But what is the maximum in, Greg? Did you say at least 6 weeks for a reason, or did you say at least 6 weeks just to try and quell people's concerns about what you're doing here? What's on the maximum side? At least 6 weeks, at most, how many? I'm just curious. Yeah. Or maybe you don't have any of those thoughts on that. You're just trying to say something to get through this press conference before you then say something that's incredibly ignorant and stupid. And then that's when your supporters start applauding behind you to make it sound like you just said something that means anything.
Yeah, well, and then that's why he turned to the rape thing. Because he wanted an applause line or whatever. He's like, I have to briefly pretend. So the question is, hey, sounds like a lot of women are going to be, like, really affected by this. Like, they might suffer, be forced to bear a child that was the result of them being raped by their uncle or something. So, what do you think about that? Can you potentially fix that problem? And he's like, dude, do you know who I am? Do you know, like, what our whole thing is? We don't give a damn about that. Like, yeah, we know. We don't care. We don't think that women are equal to the 95% of men that we have back here, and we're interested in what they think. And right-wingers get really fired up about this stuff. I don't personally care, but so we're going to give them what they want. That's all it is. And that's why he goes into the rape thing. So he can, like, raise the pitch of his voice and pretend that he's actually saying something. So they're going to eliminate rape. Someone really should have thought of that before, though. I'm glad that he's getting around to it. But anyway, there are some issues with it, which we'll get into. But before we give our commentary, I want to go into a video by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who responded to Abbott's comments.
This idea that we're going to, quote unquote, end rape when the same type of, frankly, rape culture and the same type of misogynistic culture that informed this abortion law to begin with is also, you know, those beliefs are held by the governor himself and this Texas state legislature. Frankly, there are many people in power, as we know from the Me Too movement, that commit sexual assault, that help their friends cover up these crimes. And some of them even serve in the same state legislatures that are voting on these anti-choice bills. It's awful. And he speaks from such a place of deep ignorance and it's not just ignorance. It's ignorance that is hurting people across this country.
Yeah, it is ignorance, sure. We cannot, discount how stupid someone like Governor Abbott is. But that said, he doesn't care. Like, you could present him with, a thesis with all this information, supplemental information, citations, all that. He doesn't care. Like, it's not, again, politics. When you're a child, you think, oh, wait, these people disagree about this. Well, they should just sit down and learn the facts and all that. That's not what any thing is actually about, but she is right. By the way, she went on a tweet. I just want to give her full commentary. She says, and we don't know this is a graphic to the director, sexual assault is an abuse of power that attempts to seize sexual control over another person's body. Anti-choice laws are also an abuse of power that attempts to seize sexual control over people's bodies en masse. And that's one way rape culture informs anti-choice legislation. It's not a coincidence that Texas is where GOP are testing new ways to retake sexual control via legislation. Texas had anti-sodomy laws in place until 2003, that made non-PIV sex illegal until the Supreme Court overturned it on the basis of Roe v. Wade's right to privacy. And so, yeah, like we're gonna eliminate rape. Like, that for a very dumb person sounds good. Yeah, it's a crime. We should eliminate it. The issue with it is that by the time the person is a rapist, they've committed the rape. So you want the woman to be forced to give birth to any child that comes as a result of that. But maybe you'll lock him up eventually, JR.
Yeah, there's there's a really easy question to ask once he says those types of statements. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a gotcha question or getting to him. If you're concerned about eliminating rape and taking them off the streets, the very next question for anyone, even if it's a full-on ardent Governor Abbott supporter, is, oh, great idea, Governor. How?
Mm-hmm.
How? Okay, how do we eliminate rape? What's your plan? Because you have an executive order you put in place for things that you want with the anti-mask mandates and make sure people don't have any kind of protections against COVID. And now you're going to go hard on the streets and make sure that rape is eliminated. Man, how? See what he has to say, because there's no answer for that. How do you do that? So do you increase your police force, many of which were probably already infected with COVID? So do you increase your police force to go out there and then say, hey, Ted, are you a rapist? And Ted goes, yeah. You go, okay, we got to arrest him, get him off the streets. How do you eliminate rapists off the streets? How do you eliminate rapists that are in their homes doing it? How do you eliminate rapists that are on dates doing it? How do you eliminate rapists? Because apparently we just watched Law and Order or some kind of SVU story on TV, and rapists only exist when they run up behind a woman in a dark alley somewhere, because that's how it happens. We live in this cartoonish world in America where we think everything happens based off of, ironically, what's portrayed in Hollywood studios.
Yep.
As much as they hate the Hollywood types, everything that they think about guns and defending yourselves and rapists and criminals and bank robbers, all that is based off of a television show or a movie that they saw, or even their vigilanteism that they want to do when they go off and become Rambo and want to take over things. That's a movie, bro. Sylvester Stallone is an actor. He probably doesn't like you because he's one of those Hollywood elites.
I can't speak to that specifically, but you're 100% right. It is a Hollywood version of what rape is and all that rape is. And we can try to explain to that to people, but this is not a new thing that we're trying to get through to them. Greg Abbott is at least as stupid as any college Republican was 20 years ago in college. That's it. They're stupid. They don't care. They're not interested in understanding. Well, for instance, the National Institute of Justice estimated in 2008 that in up to 90% of sexual assaults reported by college women, the women knew the perpetrator.
Yep.
That's data from 2008.
100%.
So maybe at some point in 13 years, you can become aware of that. Can I say, before we move on to the final point, and it's, you know, how this might be affecting the views of Abbott. And we should also mention, by the way, that he's talking about ending rape. Dude's been in state government for years and years and years and years as governor, as AG. How many thousands of untested rape kits are there in Texas? I don't know. I looked at a lot of different sources. At least 6,000, maybe many times that. They'll get around to it at some point.
Yeah.
On their path to eliminating rape. By the way, it's the 15th most dangerous state for rape and sexual assault in the U.S. So you maybe get around to it at some point, doing something about it. But the reason this story, for me, JR, at least, and the other times we've talked about this, feels so... I think the metaphor I made in one of like our production meetings was like boxing with Jell-O, was in some cases, we know that the population leans values-wise in a left direction, but don't necessarily yet support the right policies to solve a problem that we might be discussing. We need to push them on things like the Green New Deal or maybe Medicare for All or something like that, or that sort of thing. But in this case, nobody is on Abbott's side. Certainly, a small minority are. Even in Texas, we've already done the convincing, and more importantly, decades and decades and decades of activists and journalists and all of that have already convinced everyone. Like, there's no majority in the country that thinks, yeah, no, there should be a bounty system that locks up anyone who helps a woman exercise rights she's had since before she was born. We already did this. We already won on this. And yet we're losing on this.
Yeah.
Because that's what feels so disarming about this. And we could win again. The Democrats could do something. They, at least on paper, agree with us, but won't do what's necessary to actually give women the rights they're supposed to have. That's what feels so weird about this whole thing.
There's a different approach from both of the parties when it comes to things like this. Republicans will represent 30% of the country and their views 100% of the time and do radical things to make sure, because they're representing the minority of people that actually don't have much of a leg to stand on if there's actual argument with facts and policy base behind it. That's why they have to do things like executive orders and bypassing things and then stacking Supreme Courts to make sure that they allow this to happen when the majority of the country doesn't want any of these things. Now, the Democratic Party will have the support of like 70% of the country, but will support them 30% of the time. It's a reverse in the way that they'll, maybe even that much. They'll give enough lip service to it, which will provide that 30% of their support, but they won't actually do anything about it because they're afraid of the people that are hardcore and absolutely want to do anything they can to make sure they represent the most radical people in the country. While we call the majority of the people radical, everything is upside down, and the people that are involved in it, we're talking about both sides, politicians that are Democratic and Republican, will play their game on their part of it, just because maybe there's fear, maybe there's money being involved. It could be a mix of all of it. But what we definitely have is people who don't really care about the constituents that are that have elected them into office. That's why you also today, Texas passing their anti-voting bill, because they still need to be represented strictly by the minority of people. If you let the majority of people vote, then you have to represent them. They got to eliminate that.
Speaking of Hollywood, like, we grow up being told, oh, when great challenges come, you'll have great heroes defending you. Like, I watched like the Marvel movies. Like, no, we got a bunch of Hawkeyes, man, at best. That's all we got. There's no Iron Man. There's no Captain America, not with any power or anything.
What does Greg Abbott know about a woman's a pregnancy cycle or her the fertility cycle? And what does he know about it? What does he know about how much 6 weeks works? What does he know about how each woman is different? What does he know about how stress is involved in it? What if a woman just got raped and then she's thinking about, oh, let me go ahead and check my cycle. Oh, man, it's been 7, 14 years. So do you think that way when something like that would happen to you? Or are you so detached from who someone is as a human being, because they're just a host? You're so detached from who they actually are as human beings and how women's cycles actually work that you don't care. You just put this blanket time frame on something. Hey, if somebody in Texas says, hey, I'm sick of all these guns. You know that 6-hour M80 F90 gun that has the semi-automatic pump rifle action? And people who know guns go, you dummy. You don't know anything about guns.
You're making a good
point. Have no leg to stand on when you talk about this issue. Yeah. Oh, really? So how about Greg Abbott? Does he have a leg to stand on when talking about this issue? How many times has he been pregnant? How many times has he been 6 weeks pregnant? How many times has he been raped and been stressed with the thought process of, hey, what do I do about this? Was he 14 years old when some uncle raped him in the back room of a party at his family's house and his mother doesn't believe him? Did that happen to him? How much of a leg does he have to stand on when it comes to this type of issue? None, but we're listening to him.
Yeah, 100%. Like... Greg Abbott, please explain morally why electrical activity being detected in heart cells in a fetus means that women shouldn't have rights. Explain the moral distinction that is made when that electrical activity is first detected. He'll have nothing. But they will tell you, you don't get to be mad that someone bought a gun and shot a bunch of people unless you can explain how tactical flashlights attach to that particular model. Like, so, almost swore. It's stupid. I'll say that. It's a stupid country we live in. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Lots to get to when we come back, though. I wish we were transitioning to more positive news, but we in fact are not. So let's jump into this. We're in go time for that infrastructure bill. On Thursday, the House Ways and Means Committee is set to begin formally drafting the infrastructure bill with paid family and medical leave, expanded public education, new Medicare benefits, and more. The committee's purview includes much of that social policy, but also the tax increases needed to pay for it. Because remember, this isn't a bomb, it isn't a tank, it costs real money and you need to pay for it. All that stuff's free. So they're gonna be trying to figure out how to pay for this. And what do you know, there's some roadblocks being thrown up. But let's see, members of the Senate Finance Committee is gonna meet this week to go over more than two tax bills. Corporate interests led by the US Chamber of Commerce, the Business Roundtable, and Americans for Tax Reform have mobilized a multifaceted lobbying and advertising blitz to stop the tax increases or at least mitigate them. And so what are we looking at as the possibilities? Well, lobbyists expect the top individual income tax rate to return to 39.6% from the 37% that Trump created back in 2017. The corporate income tax rate will also rise from the 21% in the Trump tax cuts, though not to the 35% of the Obama years. Lawmakers say a 25% rate is more likely. So sure, why not? I mean, if they cut it by 14%, why would you ever expect you to raise it by more than 4? Only won multiple elections in a row, taking control of the House, the White House, and the Senate. And you got the Senate by going through Georgia because the American people were so appalled by what they'd seen from the right. Why would you ever take back anything that the right gave them? The people just hated it, so it must stay. But anyway, why? So what is happening? What is this multifaceted approach? Well, some people who never should have been involved in politics, and I can't understand why they still are, like former Senator Heidi Heitkamp, are getting involved in this process, doing lobbying for these business interests. She's adamant that taxation upon death, regardless of wealth, is deadly politics. Ms. Heitkamp said she was finding a receptive audience among potential swing voters in rural areas, especially owners of family farms, even though Democrats say such voters would never be affected by the changes under consideration. So first of all, none of these family farmers are gonna be affected by the state tax. And Heidi Heitkamp has never talked to a family farmer in the last couple of years that gave a damn what she thought about literally anything. All this is stupid, none of this makes any sense. Let's give a little bit more of what she had to say. This is very consistent with my concern about revitalizing the Democratic Party in rural America. You may want to do this, but understand there will be risk, and risk is the entire agenda.
Yeah, that is the entire agenda, is telling people there's a risk and scaring them. That's the end. She gave away the game, but you know, they can say these things out loud now because that's just the way it works. Just say straight up, so the entire agenda is to scare you. That is the risk here. Something that I just admitted doesn't mean much, but I'm gonna tell you it means everything. And you're supposed to go, that's it.
Do you want the most twisted argument? We're gonna go to this graphic, and I love this. And maybe it's subtle, I don't know. So a reporter asks her about some of the tax changes, including the estate tax and capital gains taxes. So these are taxes that affect not just the wealthy, but the uber wealthy, like people from a Dickens tale. So she's asked about those and told it won't affect anyone of the ultra rich. And this is what she says. People don't believe that because they believe that rich people always have the lane to get into Congress. I get that you're trying to deal with a huge disparity in wealth in this country, and I get that you are concerned about that for the future of America. I share that concern. Taking unrealized capital gains is not the path forward. So maybe I need to explain why that's so twisted. So she's told these tax changes won't affect regular people. And she says, no, no, no. Regular people know that the rich always have control of the process. Now let me demonstrate that. I'm gonna say that even though this won't affect them, it's confusing. So we should just leave it anyway. So we should give the rich what they want because poor people think that the rich always get what they want. How effed up is that? She has been sent by the Chamber of Commerce to stop taxes on the ultra wealthy from going up. And she comes in the door saying, hey all, I was sent by them poors. I wanna protect them. They're really confused about a whole bunch of stuff, but don't worry, I'm gonna advocate for them as I give the rich literally everything that they want. Why do we have to talk about Heidi Heitkamp? Why is she involved in any of this? Seriously, why does she have any part in this? Is she why we won control of the House? Was she an important stump speech giver for Biden? Was she tearing it up in Georgia and delivered the Senate? Did she have anything to do with any of this? No, she lost and a bunch of other, almost swore again, a bunch of other moderate Democrats, they say, lost with her model, swearing continually that they were gonna deliver these swing voters by acting like Republicans and losing as a result of it. But anyway, what I want the audience to know is that they are in these rooms. They're representing the Chamber of Commerce. They're putting pressure on Democratic senators to make this infrastructure bill as weak as possible.
That's the plan. That's how it works, by the way. So this is the only area of life where someone who's a loser continues to have influence on people who won. So you lose or you quit, whatever reason politicians leave elected official life, many times it's go make money like what she's doing and not have the stress of actually having to answer people or be enough of a spotlight to have press conferences to talk about what it is that you're doing. So this is a sweet spot for her. This is perfect. I'm a former senator, so I still have my name as that recognition, but I'm not a senator anymore. So therefore you can't ask me about why I'm doing the things I'm doing and my motivations behind them anymore. That's a perfect sweet spot for these folks. And I can still influence current elected officials that are my friends. This is great for her. So she's playing the role perfectly. This is the pinnacle of her career. This is where she needs to get, because who cares about anything else? I'm not representing anyone anymore. I'm just here to make money and then push people that are representing others to just continue to screw them over like what I used to do. This is great for her.
So that's what the former senators are saying. Okay, so what does Joe Manchin think of it? Well, he has privately warned the White House and congressional leaders that he has specific policy concerns that he can't articulate to reporters with President Biden's $3.5 trillion social spending dream, and he'll support as little as $1 trillion of it. At most, he's open to supporting $1.5 trillion. And remember, I'm not gonna bring up the graphic again, but you know what graphic I'm talking about. When Biden put out his initial proposal earlier this year, Joe Manchin came out and was like, that's nothing. I want $4 trillion. Now, maybe 1.5. So what in particular is he against? Well, he has voiced concerns about Biden's plan to spend $400 billion for home caregivers. What are his concerns? I don't know. I guess that they're gonna put $400 billion in a home caregivers, I suppose. I don't think he cares about that. He's not interested. And President Biden, don't worry, he's standing strong, saying, Joe at the end has always been there. He's always been with me. I think we can work something out. I look forward to speaking with him.
Yeah.
Where's Hawkeye when you need him? We need Hawkeye, because this is not good. These are not superheroes. These are really mediocre, dumb people who never learn anything. And I know they don't have to learn. They're delivering for the people they're actually there for. I get it. Jesus.
I want you to think about it.
Maybe Biden will be right, JR. Maybe Biden
will
be
right. No, he's been right before, you know, because the fever broke with Republicans too. It was supposed to, how many years ago? Was that 6, 7, 8 years ago the fever was gonna break? I don't know.
I don't know.
So it's still there, kind of like COVID. Anyway, think about it this way. So we're talking about the potential raising of taxes on the rich folks that got their taxes dramatically slashed, as they do every time a Republican's in office. And then we inch it back 2 to 3 percentage points. So you think these rich folks don't know how investments work? It's how many of them made their money. They invest in certain things, be it business or politicians, and they get a lot of money back because of it. That's how they have a lot of their money and have grown their wealth. So if they have no interest in spending $3.5 trillion, $4 trillion, as Joe Manchin apparently was for earlier, it's because they have no interest in investing in this particular endeavor. This endeavor being America, this endeavor being the rest of the country. They're so separate from the rest of America, they think, why would I give my money to this country? Why would they tax me at a higher rate to invest in the rejuvenation and the rebuilding of our country? Why would I invest in that? That doesn't do me any good, because it doesn't. They've already taken enough money. They've already profited enough. They can live separate, which they have been doing. That's why they have no idea how regular folks live.
Yeah.
And then they're like, why would you charge me to invest into something that I don't get anything from? And it's a true statement. They have no interest in America. They have no financial interest in America. Zero to give into it. They just need to get from it. And this is how it works.
Yeah. But she's a former senator, so she'll be brought on CNN and they'll bring her on, and they will never identify that she has been paid by the wealthy to make sure the wealthy don't have to pay. They'll say, oh, she's coming on to give her expertise in appealing to rural swing voters. Former senator. Anyway. Let's move on to another topic, a different election. Let's jump right into this video.
You're right. I am concerned about voter fraud. And that's why I'm asking people to go to electelder.com. That's my website. We have a voter integrity project set up with a bunch of lawyers ready to file lawsuits if anybody sees anything suspicious.
Well, you know, we're getting close to an election because the right wing's drumming up concerns about voter fraud again. In this case, they're not ready to do it about the 2024 election. They'll get around to that eventually. Right now, it's for the recall election in California, which at one point the polls showed to potentially be pretty close. Now, we'll show you again this graphic of a most recent polling showing a more than 10 point gap between the keep and remove the governor polling results. So it doesn't look like it's going to be particularly close, but all across Fox News, there's going to be voter fraud. They're going to steal it. Yes, I'm sure some combination of Hugo Chavez and China. They're really concerned about this California recall vote, and so they're dispatching all the people are going to steal it. Let's give you a couple more takes, because obviously, look, the fact that Larry Elder, who's running in the election, is going on talking about that doesn't necessarily surprise anyone, but they've dispatched all of their dumbest, dullest pundits, which you'll see here.
But I will say this to Charlie's point. Yes, Gavin Newsom has raised a whole lot of money from teachers, unions, and special interests and tech, but that money is not going to save him. The only thing that will save Gavin Newsom is voter fraud. So, as they say, stay woke, pay attention to the voter fraud going on in California, because it's going to have big consequences, not only for that state, but for upcoming elections. Every bad idea originates in California, and that just happens to be where Kamala's from. No coincidence there.
Frankly, what people ought to look at is this is going to be an election where they go all out to steal the referendum. The Secretary of State of California has now said you can print your own ballots. I mean, you think about this. You talk about the opposite of election integrity. They're going to allow you to print your own ballots. They're going to allow people to come around and harvest your ballot. So the unions will be out there and they'll make sure that everybody votes, even if they don't vote. And I think this may well be the most rigged statewide election we've seen probably in at least a half century.
It's happening right now in California's recall election, which is about 2 weeks from today. In February, the state's legislature in California passed a law requiring that all registered voters get a mail-in ballot, even if they didn't ask for a mail-in ballot. Why would you do that? Well, COVID, of course. Quote, "The pandemic has not gone away," said one California assemblyman. Now, here we are in September, and of course, they're telling us the pandemic has still not gone away. And that is convenient for them, and specifically for Gavin Newsom, who knows that mail-in ballots, which by definition lack any form of voter ID, cannot be verified. Those kind of ballots overwhelmingly benefit his party because they abet voter fraud. In Connecticut, the Democratic Party is now allowing anyone to vote absentee as long as they say they're afraid of getting sick. Quote, "Anyone who's afraid of contracting COVID or expects they'll be sick," one town clerk announced, "is entitled to a mail-in ballot."
So they don't have to provide any evidence.
None.
They can just what Gingrich just said, just save that, because they're going to say about literally every election that will ever happen now. It might well be the most fraudulent election in American history. Yeah, that'll be the midterms, and it'll be 2024. They will never, ever lose. They can't lose by definition. If they lose, it was stolen. And of course, their audience has believed that for a long time. It hasn't been this public a part of their programming up until this point. They got a lot of play out of it in the wake of the massive failure of Donald Trump and the Republicans in 2020. And so now they'll just say about literally every election, because again, punditry is about now. It's not about educating or persuading. It's about cultivating and grooming an audience. You get an audience, you figure out exactly what they want to hear. You tell them that over and over and over again, and you shield their ears. You give them little earmuffs from any inconvenient information. That's all it is. So if they believe that their side can never lose, make sure that you tell them that.
Yep.
It's just so pathetic. It's the recall election. Who cares, honestly? They're not trying to steal the recall election. Your candidates are ridiculous chuckleheads. Larry Elder is the best candidate you have. He's a parody of himself. And you're surprised that they're losing at this point?
They're not. They're not surprised at all. They know that they represent the minority of people in the country. They know that. That's why they're so hardcore on these, on pushing these election conspiracies and always suppressing the vote. Suppressing the vote from the Republican Party is nothing new. They're just finding different ways to do it. Now, Donald Trump gave them a nice gift by having by collecting, like you said, what these pundits do is they groom their audience to think something that makes absolutely no sense. Donald Trump was able to do it in like hyperspeed. He was able to do it over his one term to generate so many people that had no interest or idea how politics works to just think, oh my God, yeah, if we lose, that means it was fraud. Now, the establishment Republicans hate him for the way he approached things, the way he was a barker and like offended people and turned them off the Republican Party. They don't like any of that, but they do like the messaging. If you think about it, Newt Gingrich and Tucker Carlson and all of them, Sean Hannity's of the world, they didn't like his approach, but now that he's not really there, they'll still take his messaging. And now it's theirs. And they make it sound a lot more like establishment and normal. I guarantee you they're gonna lose this election because of this, this, and that. That sounds just like Donald Trump, but just because it's not coming out of his mouth, there's this, now it's been filtered into people you trust, like Newt Gingrich from the 90s. People who are following Newt Gingrich that had nothing to do with politics beforehand and have become MAGA folks, they have no idea about Newt Gingrich and what he was about. They have no idea. They just go, oh, Newt Gingrich, oh yeah, he's one of those old politicians. He's saying the same stuff. That means it's true. They're piggybacking off of Donald
Trump. He desperately wants them to like him.
This is the same MAGA group. This is the same things Donald Trump says. It's just not coming out of his mouth anymore.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, not that he necessarily needs it, but when he does pop back up running in a month or a year or 2 years or whatever, he is going to instantly be running on that because all they want is applause lines. That's all it is. They've just all become stand-up comics. You throw a bunch of stuff out, you see the things people clap for, and then you just say that more. That's all it is anymore. And sure, it can get you some Twitter followers and some money or whatever, but it doesn't get you a functioning democracy. Okay,
with that said.
What's that?
They definitely don't want that. A functioning democracy, that's what also they're against as well.
No, not if it costs them the dollars and the views. Okay, so we're gonna take our second break. We come back. We've got a Karen, we've got a Ken, we've got a lot to deal with after this. I can't take any more of this. What a stupid country. Imagine if the Avengers like had to deal with like 30% of the country just like opened up portals to the Chitauri constantly. It's like, no, I heard it was safe on the internet. It's like, no, I can't keep saving you if you're gonna keep doing this. Anyway, with that said, let's jump into some lighter news with this video.
That's a excuse me?
Excuse me. I'm coming through.
So cute. She's coughing at me.
No, yes. Look at you guys. Yeah. You're so cute.
You're such a Karen.
Okay, whatever. You're such sheep.
Why don't you have a mask on?
Because I don't need to have one on. I'm not sick and neither are you.
Okay, but you don't have to be coughing at me.
You don't know who's sick or not.
Can you find
my allergies.
You don't
have
know
allergies.
Who's sick or not by looking at
somebody. Oh, you got. Yeah, and so 2 years ago, before anybody started talking about COVID, you were okay with that, though, going out not knowing you were sick, right?
You don't know anything about my health.
I don't.
Yeah, she's coughing at me.
I have my allergies, and she got all freaked out because I'm coughing.
Cancel people. Just cancel them. So that video was apparently taken in a Super Saver on 27th at Pine Lake in Lincoln, Nebraska. On Friday evening, that woman who I'm not sure, it's not the highest resolution video. I believe it's Congresswoman Marjorie Greene. I'm not sure. At least it seems she's in the same mold and probably is filled with mold that she's coughing all over people because of her allergies. It's just my allergies. I don't have any much broader point to make about this, JR. I'm just sick of people. I'm sick of how awful they are. There is no bar for them. We don't have any expectations. And unfortunately, some of the people with the most influence and money in the country, their entire reason for being is to take people like that and tell them these worst impulses you have to cough in people's faces, to think that everything is about you and your comfort. That's the best thing about you. You should be more like that. You should be proud of how awful you are. And I'm just sick of living in a country that's filled with people like that.
Well, people like this are similar, ironically, to street criminals that people are always concerned about. You know, make sure you hold your purse a certain way, or make sure you don't walk down a certain dark street, because people look for targets that are easy. People like this woman, they're looking for targets, and she figures, oh, there's a woman with her daughter. They're not gonna be like aggressive back towards me. They're not gonna actually probably respond in a negative way that can harm me. So I'm gonna target them. Guarantee you, she scanned the people that she wants to mess with. Yeah. And decided not to mess with some people that she was like, this is an interaction. It's not gonna go that well for me. I might not come out on the right end of this. So she avoids them. It's like people groom and look for their targets as criminals or victims. And this is what she's looking for. By the way, this is assault, especially in the situation we're living in now, especially with things as COVID has spread. So you cough on someone purposely, and obviously there's no question that what she was doing. Yeah. So someone responds with another kind of assault. Oh, she's gonna be crying and whining about it.
Yep.
But this is how bullies start fights. And they think, oh, nobody's ever gonna mess with me. Because Jeff, this is the basis for her existence. For some reason, she can't go get her eggs and her cheese. She has to mess with other people. Now, even if the background to this little interaction was the mother and daughter that was getting coughed on, said something to her like, hey, you ass, put on a mask. Maybe they were maybe they were rude to her.
Slogan.
You know,
but that doesn't make it okay.
Exactly. Who cares?
It doesn't make it okay.
Yeah. If someone can say something to you, you can be like, because I don't want to, and move on.
Yes. Yeah. If we weren't in the midst of a wave of a deadly pandemic, that wouldn't be acceptable. You should be thrown out of the store for coughing on people like that. In 2017, I don't care. You can't do that. Like, it's just so, like, I get that we all need hobbies. So I'm writing a book. I play Destiny 2, and my wife and I like to walk our dogs and go on bike rides. That's what we do for fun. This is what that woman does for fun. She goes to the store in the same way that the Central Park Karen goes looking for skateboarders to mess with. We have a bunch of busybodies that have been told being a busybody is the best thing that you can be. And I don't know how we fight back against it, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the fact that she's probably gonna get someone sick. Do you think that woman's not gonna end up getting COVID? There's a mask mandate in that area. She's walking around in a supermarket coughing on people and produce. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get to our last story. So we're unfortunately running low. Sorry, did you have a final point?
Not at all.
Okay. Oh, by the way, let me remind people so that I don't forget. Our program is gonna be running for about 40 more minutes, but immediately following that, Indisputable will be coming up. Dr. Rashad Ritchie, Dina Dahl will be on as co-host. Hannah Cox will be joining them for debate. So you're not gonna wanna miss it. Should be a lot of fun. Also, as always on Wednesdays, I will be joining Anna Kasparian for the second hour of the Young Turks. So that should be awesome too. And I want to remind you, so we've been giving shout outs to some of our YouTube members, some of the people who've subscribed on Twitch. We also, of course, have our network membership. You can get details about that from tyt.com/change. And that membership is a very important part of keeping TYT stable. Obviously, we don't have, you know, right wing billionaires backing us up and things like that. So we need our, you know, basically our viewers, people who are a part of what we're trying to do, that share our values, that want to see the country move in this direction to keep us stable. And if you want to be a part of that, you can find out details at tyt.com/change. And with all that said, why don't we jump into, oh God, these videos are rough, but let's jump into this.
Hey bro, y'all see this dude over here, right? He work here, bro. And he work here, right? He just came up here to get his check, right? He been in the job for 2 hours, bro. And they talking about somebody just robbed the building like 30 minutes ago. He been in this building for 2 hours. They talk about he fit a description.
Man, this is terrible. Because he walked out, look at him. Y'all don't see him. Bro,
just lay down.
Lay down.
Lay down.
Lay down.
Lay down.
Lay down.
Lay
Stay, don't move. Do not move. Stay like that.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Stay right there.
So what you're seeing there is a group of officers. This is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which were responding to a call about a robbery at a McDonald's that saw a black man who happened to be there and decided that's our guy. And they weren't going to let something like the employees of the store telling them he works here, he didn't do it. They're not going to let that stop them. And so like for like an hour, they were hounding this guy at gunpoint, arresting him. He was made to stay in jail overnight. Again, they were told that this is not the guy who did it, but he had to stay in jail overnight. He was charged with misdemeanor and felonies. So, JR, what are you gonna do?
Why let bad policing get in the way of you trying to harass and assault and arrest someone wrongfully? Why? Who cares, right? And number two, so someone robbed a McDonald's. So the logic, the process behind their logical thinking, these police officers, is that the folks who got robbed were robbed by this guy, called them. I'm not sure who called. Well, let's see if I assume this is the process here. Called the police because they got robbed. Police show up and they go, that's our guy. The people who got robbed said no, because we're afraid of who just robbed us. We want to protect him at the same. Where does the logic go from that? Yep. You have to believe that just because these are other black folks that are inside the McDonald's, that they're looking to protect the potential robbery suspect who they just called the police on.
Yep.
If they're gonna protect the robbery suspect, why would they call the police? And then tell them, no, that's not your guy.
It's the managers of the place that was robbed. And let's play a fun little trivia game. So we set up a hypothetical. All these cops have gone there. They're told it's not him. They're like, whatever, we're gonna arrest him. So who are they not arresting? I'll give you a few seconds. The person who actually did it, because that person now has like an hour where they can go and do whatever they want, because the cops have decided this guy that definitely didn't do it is our person. And the thing is, so look, it makes no sense. It is absolutely horrendous policing and all that. But you know, we're not surprised by that. We're not shocked by that at all. What I think about is like the people, like his coworkers that are taking the video. And I don't know exactly what was going through their minds, but I imagine what was going through a lot of their minds is, I could be filming him being shot at any second. Because just because he's on his knees, surrounded by cops, just because there's no rational reason for them to be scared at all, just because he lays down does not mean that they're not gonna shoot him in any second. And so I imagine, like, think about how traumatized not only Isaiah, the individual in the video, it's been identified by his mother, must be, the family must be, but everyone that had to witness that, because you've been trained to believe the person I'm watching could be shot at any second. I could be shot at any second, because there is no standards whatsoever for cops anymore.
Yeah, if they're willing to do that, if they're willing to go ahead and arrest someone that they are seeing, everyone's telling that's not the guy, why would they care about anything else? Why would they care about any other process that has to do with the legal process for getting the potential criminal, right? Why would they care about it? So yeah, of course people are afraid. Yeah, as they're filming it, they're telling them to lay down on the ground still, even though that's the next demeaning thing that they're telling this guy to do. And when he's trying to show them, hey, there's no gun, there's no weapons, any of that stuff. Because I got worried as soon as he grabbed his shirt to show them that. I was like, I don't know if they asked him to do that, but that's a move that you probably don't want to do, because they're going to go, oh, he's reaching for the gun. Here's our excuse to finally do what we've been wanting to do.
But you have no idea. Yeah. Like, if it was happening to me, and obviously wouldn't, for all the reasons that we know, thanks to what police and race in America, what can you do? There's seemingly nothing you can do that they aren't trained to interpret as, this person is about to murder me with their bare hands. From 30 feet away. They all think that everything, no matter how submissive you act, they're terrified that they're about to die.
Yeah, this is a problem that they have.
Crowd of people with guns all pointed at him, and they're scared they're all about to be murdered.
Previous to this, you can always do these types of things because, you know, broad society backs them up, because general society is afraid of black folks too. So if police do this to a random black person, they know there's not gonna be enough support for pushback. If you do this to some rich Ivy League white kid who's got like generational wealth, they know there's problems coming down the pike, so they make sure they don't mess that up. As society changes their opinions about the way they want policing to handle these things, the more police get like Well, wait a second. You guys are supposed to support our random acts of violence on random people that we deem criminals. That's changing. They don't like it.
100%. And credit to Ali, the activist on TikTok, for sharing the video so that people know of this. Because otherwise, I mean, like, again, as always, if you didn't have the video, God knows what the cop version of this would be in the press release.
100%.
Anyway, everyone watching on our linear platforms, thank you so much for joining us for this first hour of the Damage Report. It was a lot, but important stuff. We do have more news coming though. So if you are watching on Twitch or if you're on YouTube, we're going to be taking a short break, just a couple of minutes. We got a lot of news to get to, including Meanwhile In. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.